experience for a couple of years what this is like, not having great vision. What's the word? It's audibly and...
Visibly
is there's a big word I can't think of, but because I remember hearing it when I was having all these tests and everything. So scripture with scripture, what you see, I put that in quotes, includes words. In Romans 10:17 it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Isn't that interesting? Faith cometh by hearing, but most of us read. You see, so when the Bible talks about hearing and talks about seeing, it's not a scientifically technical term. It's talking about what you take into your mind. And that can be through your eyes, it can be through your ears, and is affected by the other senses. When I was doing the audio, I was telling somebody that there for a while I was really going through the Bible. I went through it two or three times within a few months. Listening to it and just taking it in and everything. And I said, well, that's not really like reading the Bible. And I said, well, then blind people can't read the Bible unless they have Braille. But even that's not reading. That's with your fingertips. Well, I don't know about that. And I said, well, and I've said that to numerous people through the years. Actually, Doug, when we were talking, you know, he just shared with you his vision issues. And I think Doug had been made to think that listening to it on audio wasn't really as good. Or not the same thing. Well, if you pay attention, it is.
No, I never heard.
And remember, we had that conversation.
I have never heard that.
Yeah.
And then I started doing it.
And the reason why people don't do it is because they're made to believe that it's not really as good as reading it with your eyeballs. Well, if you listen and you develop your ear, as they say, develop your ear, and you can really take in what's being said, that may even be better than reading for you. Some people, when they read, and I do this, I have to stop myself sometimes. I'll be reading, and suddenly I'll realize, I'm reading it, but I ain't even paying attention to what I'm reading. Some of you do that? So, with the idea that the blind see, and that you have different types of learners, by listening to the Word of God, that's whether you read it, you're hearing it read. So without beating a dead horse, we will continue with this understanding of the eye. I wanted you to have that understanding that when Jesus is talking about the eye, it's including everything you take in into your mind. So we go back to Luke 11, verse 34. It continues and says, therefore, when thine eye is single, that's talking about focus, the whole body also is full of light. So if you will take in that which is proper for you to take in, then that's when you will notice the change in your life. The whole body is full of light. But don't expect God, and people just want to pray and say, Lord, turn me into a spiritual giant. Boom. It doesn't happen that way. It's not going to happen that way. You have to get your focus, single focus, on serving the Lord, learning His Word, praying, telling others about the Lord, living it the way you ought to, being an example for people instead of someone that wants to avoid you. And you will then succeed in being a disciple and being the light. But it is up to you. Why do I say that? It's up to God. No, it's God's right there, ready, willing, and able. This thing isn't up to God. God's already doing His part. It's up to you. You have to make that choice. You have to be the one to receive what God wants for you, receiving His Word, praying the way you ought to, praying without ceasing, preaching the gospel to every creature. So that's the question. Will you take in the light so that you can then be a light? Or are you going to drown yourself in darkness? And folks, this seems, maybe some of you are saying this is very basic. No, it may be, but this is a plague throughout professing Christianity. A plague of darkness. I mean, there are professing Christians who walk out those doors of any church you want to talk to. I hope I'm not talking to anybody here. But they walk out that door and the music they listen to is filthy, fornication, and disgusting in God's ears, but they let it go in theirs. I'm not talking about walking through a store and you can't control that. I'm talking about what are you feeding on day in, day out in your car, in your headphones from your phone or whatever you're listening to these days. Or as Joe Biden would say, on your record player. I actually have one of those. So, but if you are only watching and listening to things, not it doesn't even have to be sex. It doesn't have to be abominable wickedness like that. It can be false teachers. It can be people who are telling you things that it's going to rot your brain spiritually. And people will turn on these TV preachers and watch this stuff. Now, I'm not saying all preachers on TV, but you know who I'm talking about. These guys who don't teach the Bible, and when they do, they rip it out of context and everything. That's going to rot you spiritually. It's going to dim your light. And he says, but when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. And if you're not being a light, it has a lot to do with what you're taking in. And what you're taking in is darkness, it will not exude light. How many of you have seen what happens when you put what they call black light? And I didn't bring it today, but I have used this as an example. And I'd have a light here, a regular, like the bulbs we have here, and then a black light. And I'd tell when I was teaching young people, I'd tell them to wear white. And so they'd all wear their white t-shirts and everything. And then I'd always have one student that I'd ask to have a black shirt under his white shirt. I'd turn on the light, everybody be looking around, everybody's got white on. And I said, now this is how God sees it. And then I would flick the lights completely off. And that kid would take his white t-shirt off quietly and set it aside. Then I'd turn on the black light. And you'd see all the white t-shirts except for the one kid with the black. And the kids are amazed. How do you do that? So that's how God sees it. You can put on a show and people look at you and you come to church and call yourself Christian, whatever. But God sees the light. And the reality is people around you see it too. They are being affected by whatever light you're putting off. And if what you put off is actually darkness, don't think for a second that you're not affecting people. You are. There's no neutral, there's no, you know, pause button. You are either being light or darkness. And you got to take this thing seriously. And a sinner who is lost and unsaved obviously must repent in order for the gospel to penetrate. That's why repentance is so important. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Now look what it says here. If you're there, read verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see that? They're blinded by the enemy. And that's why the light of the gospel will not take root, take effect. The sinner is lost in sin. You can picture it as being up eyeball deep or nose deep in the muck and mire. And they have to turn toward God. That's repentance. Turning toward the light. And then the gospel shines on them that they can believe and receive it. Lost person must recognize they are a sinner, lost in sin, and deserving hell. And repent. And if that person will repent toward God, then that's when the gospel can shine. With faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. See how that works? If you are preaching the gospel to people and trying to water it down and make them feel good about themselves and telling them, you know, Jesus will take all your problems away and all your dreams will come true, that's not the gospel. You have to confront your lost loved ones with their sin and the fact that they need saved. And then, if they will repent, in their heart toward God, willing to receive the gospel, they can be saved. Now, verse 35 says, back in Luke 11, "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness." You know, there's people who really think that they're shining light, and it's darkness. There are people who call themselves Christians who spend all their time trying to convince everybody that of the Calvinist extreme version of predestination and election that doesn't matter. Everybody's been chosen who's going to be saved and who's not. And so they don't spend their time preaching the gospel. They spend their time trying to darken your light.
Yep.
I've had it happen to me personally numerous times.
Yep.
People who don't spend any time preaching to the lost, all their time trying to, they are so deceived. And trying to deceive Christians into not preaching the gospel because it's already settled. There are Christians who spend all their time trying to get you to speak in tongues. They don't go around preaching to the lost the gospel. They want you to, praise the Lord. What does that accomplish? Absolutely nothing. Except to darken the light. All kinds of things that everybody is spending all their time totally distracted on instead of preaching the gospel to the lost. There are those who are religious but lost. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. There are a lot of religious people going to hell.
Amen.
And those religious people will preach what they think is, you know, what is the gospel? And they'll say, oh, the golden rule. No, the golden rule is something to live by. That's not how to be saved. Or the Sermon on the Mount. No. Wrong dispensation. Well, I just think it's, you know, do unto others. No. Any gospel that involves your works is a satanic lie and leaves you in darkness. Any gospel, all these people around the town, everybody thinking be baptized to be saved. Satanic lie. Anybody telling you, you go to heaven if you go to church and do this and do that? No. It's a lie. So now comes the obvious conclusion from the Lord in verse 36. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, beginning with salvation, and as a Christian, doing what God has told you to do, receiving His word and so forth, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. That's our goal as Christians, not so everybody will go around bragging about you and say, oh, he's such a wonderful light. He just lights up the room when he walks in. That's not our goal. Our goal is the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ. And it's obviously not heeded by the masses. And I mean massive Christians as well. Note that the Lord based our being full of light on our being a light. In other words, you can't be full of light if you haven't received Him, the light of the world. When you receive Jesus, that's when you receive the light in you. And when you receive His Word daily and walking in the Word in prayer and such, that is how you are a light. That's how you take a light bulb. If I just hold a light bulb up, and I mean, there's musicians who can make it do something, but if I hold a light bulb up, it's not doing anything. I have to do what?
Turn it into a power source.
Power source. Jesus is the light. He's the power source. Receiving the gospel and receiving Jesus, then we can become lights. And there's no other way to do it. No other way around it. And that's why we started in verse 33 by him saying, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, not to attract attention to you, that they which come in may see the light, which didn't come from you in the first place. It's not you. It's not coming from you. It's Him in you, shining out from you. And it's not a question of, you know, whether or not that will happen. If you are full of His light, you will shine. So, if you're not a shining light right now, you need to ask yourself what the problem is. And then look in the mirror. If you are not a light right now, you're the problem.
Amen.
Jesus is the solution. Jesus is that light. If you've never been saved, never gotten it straight, you need to get that straight. How that Christ died for your sins, shedding His blood and paying the full price for sin. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. If you get that settled, you have the light in you. Then it's just a matter of surrendering to Him in your daily life. And it's a choice. You can wake up every day and decide, this day's mine. I'm going to do what pleases me. I got a whole list of things I'm going to do that are going to just make me feel all. Or you can wake up and, as Paul said, I die daily. You'll wake up and say, you know what, it's not about me. Try it sometime if you haven't. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, wake up tomorrow and leave yourself a little sticky note by the bed. Monday, May 10th, all to Jesus. And give it all to Him. Don't let yourself make those stupid choices at any time, that one day. Do what you're supposed to do. Be in the Word the way you should be. Just one day. Read, pray, witness. Keep your eyes off of the garbage. Turn off the crap. One day. And see what that's like. It'll be an amazing experience. Some of you have done it, maybe got out of it. The world's pulled you down. Start tomorrow. Actually, I mean, you can start right now. But you can start by now by saying, you know what? I'm going to spend this day for the Lord and I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And this day belongs to Jesus. One more place. This is our last place we're going to look is Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, 15. He's going to say the same thing and then put a little icing on the cake. Verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now read verse 16 with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, your works doesn't save you, doesn't have anything to do with saving you. You can't add a work to your salvation. You can't pay for a sin with your works. But what you do is get saved and then work. And you work for the glory of God. It says they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. They're not going to start a, you know, St. Gregory Miller Day. You know, we don't want to start a new denomination. You know, the Church of St. Gregory of Worthington. You know, or whatever. What's it about? It's about bringing glory to God. And if people know you're doing what you're doing because of Jesus Christ in you, then you will bring glory to God. Not to mention the reward and everything else. So that's what we'll pick up in Luke 11 next time. Yeah, Rick?
I was thinking that the point here, and this made it in Matthew 5:15, was don't light a candle so you can stare at the candle.
Yeah.
You light a candle, it says it gives its light unto all that are in the house.
Right.
You need it to see what's around the candle.
Yeah. But you aren't the light.
Right.
Jesus is the light. And it's not about you. It's about you lighting the world with the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's where people get it wrong. Everything. People read the Bible and it's all about, I'm going to get something for me today. You've already started wrong. What you're supposed to get is what God wants for you so that you can love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're reading the Bible right, it's putting your desires to rest. You know, that brings up another little point I'll bring up as our musicians are coming. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart. And people misread that. They think, well, I desire this and I desire that and God's going to give it to me. No, it means He's going to change your desires. Your desires will no longer be what they were. You'll find your desires are God's desires. And that's why He says, if you pray anything according to My will, you'll receive it. But most people don't pray according to His will. They pray according to My will. Instead of Thy will be done, it's Dear Lord, My will be done. And it all comes back to that attitude of being about God and serving others for His glory. Amen? All right, you can stand. We'll sing.
424. So when the preacher gets on the right page, we're all the same.
Singing His praises, Jesus is mine.